Welcome back to hour three of your alt election coverage 2025. I'm your host from the West Coast, Bill Collins, along with my esteemed colleague and analyst, Peter Wainwright. Peter, it's been quite an interesting evening so far.
Well, let me give you where we are right now. And, you know, we're still seeing the back and forth, but we're now at 89% of all polls reporting. So that's like way up there. We're still seeing the Liberals in the lead. If I look at kind of the cross Canada breakdown, amazingly, one of the ridings in Newfoundland is still up for grabs with the Liberals leading. PEI is completely decided. It went entirely Liberal. Nova Scotia is entirely decided. All but one went Liberal. New Brunswick split. They're completely decided. Quebec has got two polls that are still up for grabs. One of them is Bloc leading. One is Liberal leading. The NDP did get one riding in Quebec. Ontario, we're still seeing six polls that are remain in contest. Manitoba completely decided. They did elect one NDP as well. Saskatchewan completely decided. All but one are conservative. The one went Liberal. Alberta's completely decided. There was one NDP elected, two Liberals, and the rest are conservative. BC, we still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 up for grabs, and those are split with Liberals leading in 5, NDP in 2, and Conservatives in 2. Yukon's decided, Northwest Territories is decided, Nunavut is NDP leaning.
Thanks for that broad update, Peter. Next up, we have Ken's Kresge. Ken, as you come in, Ken, I ask you, as the social media boffin here on Alt Election 2025, can I ask you if you see any difference in the tone of discussions of strategic voting on the various platforms?
Yeah, I've been mainly focusing on Reddit and Facebook right now, where Reddit seems to be more in Central Canada. Facebook seems to be more in Western Canada. The discussions around strategic voting and vote splitting on Facebook and the West Coast seem to be more focused around the quality of the polling data. So it seems to be a bit more granular discussion. On Reddit, it seems to be very more forward and interested in talking about just the fact that we shouldn't vote split.
Well, now, Ken, for our listening audience, where are you situated now and what time is it?
It's, what is it, 7:05 a.m. The fog is just rolling back. I'm in Friesland, which is in the Netherlands.
Thanks, Ken. And I recall meeting you at the CRTC hearings back in the fall of 2023. Seems you've still landed in good health. Thanks very much for this evening's comments on the social media platform. It's much appreciated.
I just wanted to add one more, if I may, if there's time.
Sure.
Okay, so I've been looking at, of course, looking at the results and seeing how the discussions have been evolving over the evening here. And this has been an anecdotal survey of social media. This is by no means a rigorous scientific evaluation. But I must say, there is an overriding trend in the discussions about the dissatisfaction that people are having to actually strategically vote. It's like they got to hold their nose and not vote for their favorite candidate, but vote for a candidate. Some of the quotes here are quite startling. Quote, strategic voting is a degradation of democracy. People are certainly interested in hearing another take on it. Another quote, I define any system which throws out 49% of the votes for 51% of the votes to be inherently undemocratic. I'd have to say that there is definitely an appetite amongst the anecdotal evidence that I've been reading on social media for a change in the voting system in Canada. I want to add that.
He's done. He's finished.
Yeah, thanks, Ken, very much. Well, as I said, we appreciate here at Alt Election 25 your comments. And so You can hit the sack now if you want, or maybe you get up and have a coffee. I don't know. Next up, Barry, you had some breaking news for us just before the turn of the hour. What do you have to say?
Yeah, we just saw Pierre Poilievre take to the stand to the stage and speak to his supporters. He spoke specifically thanking his donors and sponsors, candidates, and the voters that they had. He's definitely saying he's staying on to move forward and support the party and those that voted for him. Sort of numbers that we're looking at, total vote share, 41.7%. That's up almost 8% in total, flipping back and forth between liberal and conservative, or between 147 to 148 votes or ridings. So that sort of puts us sitting around, you know, the back and forth there. Interestingly enough, he did reach out and congratulate Prime Minister Carney, which was something that had been sort of spoken above before, where there was not that acknowledgement earlier in other areas. If I'm correct and my math is not that great, if you need 172 and you've got 164 for the Liberals, 8 for the NDP and 1 for the Green, are we talking that the Green Party holds the balance of power right now in deciding a vote? I know that there's a lot of other elements that go into it. We still got a number of things to move towards. You know, that's something that we're thinking about there. And appreciate Ken's insight into what a lot of people are talking about, electoral change. I have a feeling that's going to be a topic that's brought up numerous times in the next couple of months as well.
Yeah, well, living in the riding that hosts Elizabeth May, listeners may be interested to note that this has been a green riding for Elizabeth May since 2011. And of course, the machine is the Greens, and I loosely call it a machine, but very, very staunch supporters and a lot of campaign finance funds, both federally and provincially. And the provincial Greens just won another term with a shift in power from Adam Olson, who we heard from earlier, to Rob Botterill, who was just elected in the fall and moving forward on an agenda with two Greens here and provincially elected. So I can't imagine that we had figured at the start of the day whether we were going to have Greens in the balance of power. It will be interesting to see as we move beyond this. Barry, thank you very much. I still have you on the line. Thank you very much for the tremendous amount of work that has gone into this election coverage. We have all enjoyed it, and we've all been led by a great leader. So thank you very much. I want to turn to you, Peter, something that Barry mentioned earlier, which was Pierre Poilievre having a congratulatory note to Mark Carney. What was the final outcome of Mark Carney's riding?
Well, so we're all but two polls reporting, so this is basically final. Mark Carney was elected with 63.7% of the riding vote. That's 42,000-something. The Conservative was the next runner-up at only 33%.
Yeah, thank you for that, Peter. So, we're now sort of winding down our coverage. We anticipate we'll be on the air for another 20 minutes or so. Peter, you and I discussed earlier topics that we thought were had risen to the fore in this election coverage, and so why don't we take a few seconds to talk about how those came about, and perhaps I don't know if you have any sort of thoughts after we see ourselves in the state that we're in now with elections being declared, the election being declared in favor of the Liberals, minority still outstanding. I noticed even today, Donald Trump was trolling Canada. And I wanted to get your opinion. To me, that's an overt form of foreign election interference. What do you think?
Yeah, I was going to agree with you completely. The effect of that kind of interference is kind of hard to say, but for people that were perceiving too much similarity between a candidate and Trump, every time he weighed in, it influenced the polls. And certainly by trolling Canada as the 51st state on the day of the election, likely encouraged turnout.
You wonder. I don't know what the final result was, but I heard something about 25% of Canadians voted in the advance polls. Is that about right?
Yeah, it was a very large turnout, double, you know, more than double what's normal, 7.3 million, I think, in the advance polls.
Yeah, we've noticed it here because you can see behind us in the Radio Sydney, the beautiful Radio Sydney studio, which is sponsored by the Mary Winspear Center here in Sydney, British Columbia, southern Vancouver Island. Voters have been streaming in because the polling station is just a couple of doors down here. But there was no lineups. Not at one time today did I see a lineup yet. And I know the advance polls for here had a good hour or hour and a half lineup to get in.
Yeah, things were pretty busy at the advanced polls, and you know, things seemed to go very smoothly during the actual election day.
Peter, another topic that that came up was defunding university research and defunding the CBC, which seemed to be a platform proposal by Pierre Poilievre and the now defunct, I guess, conservatives or 2IC conservatives. What do you think?
Yeah, that was quite concerning to see that when it came out. The defunding university research, that was a platform that he announced in Quebec that they would not fund university research of woke themes. So they would, that if it wasn't an appropriate type of research, it shouldn't get government funding.
Yeah, and what was the debacle around publishing the woke statement in the French platform, but having it omitted from the English platform?
Yeah, it well, this is one of the things that it was interesting to see how social media responded to that, because I didn't actually see it in any of the Canadian media coverage because, of course, it can't be shared on social media. I noticed it in a U.S. publication, Science. They actually reported on it. And then when I started to fact check that, I was able to find it in some of the Quebec media. But, you know, it hadn't kind of made its way across the coast yet.
You know, that's an interesting one. What I tried to track was the repeal, the expected repeal by the Conservatives of Bill C-18 and Bill C-11, the Online News Act, and the reformation of the Broadcasting Act. A significant amount of effort went into these two bills in terms of the protection of both normal civil discourse in Canada, the role of social media, the role of social media giants in delivering news and information. And of particular interest to the CRTC was how the Canadian landscape and media landscape was changing with the market demographics, with consolidation of some of the major news centers. So it really talked to me personally about protecting democracy, and that's part of why Radio Sydney exists, and part of why perhaps many campus and community radio stations exist, is to protect the rights of individuals to have a voice, and voice from those that might be underrepresented in natural discourse. We have Bailey at your discretion. We have a 4-minute clip, a streeter, as we call it, from Winnipeg Street Interviews. Just let me know when you're ready to come in with that. Peter, the last thing that we mentioned earlier was how the opioid crisis impacted Canadians and the party attitudes towards that crisis.
Yeah, One thing I'd like to just go sideways for a second on this. The things we're talking about now kind of should have been election issues, but they didn't really emerge until or only a little bit in some areas. And I think part of what's going on, it was a very short election campaign. There was so much pivoting as Trump and tariffs did things, and the party platforms didn't get announced, didn't get released until the very last week. So you couldn't kind of do any analysis of here's this party's platform compared with that one. And we've wound up with a very ad hoc kind of decision making. And, you know, we see the outcome, and we certainly had major engagement by the voters.
Yeah, I see it here. As you mentioned, large turnout. Can you give us an estimate from your trolling there what the voter turnout looked like?
No, they haven't actually got reports on the voter turnout yet. Number of polls reporting doesn't tell you what the vote, you know, percent voter turnout. That probably is going to come out in a day or two.
Peter, did you get a sense, we mentioned it earlier in our discussion, but did you get a sense of impact of foreign election interference? Notwithstanding, we talked about it earlier, yeah. Donald Trump as an overt form of foreign interference.
Yeah, there were, I was specifically trying to look for that kind of thing. And there were some reports of foreign interference, social media, trolling, some of the stuff originating in China. They were specifically talking about the details on it were not fully available. And one of the other problems with that kind of information was trying to fact check it, because, you know, breaking news like that you see or hear about through social media might not be real. And there was one deep fake video of a Carney speech that never happened. Now, where that came from, who knows? But I mean, that was clearly an attempt to manipulate using, you know, an AI generated video.
Well, I know from myself, I never trust anything. I always had to go to two or three sources before I believe what I read. But in terms of social media and deep fake, I don't think I could tell you the difference. So you have to stand by what you believe is in the integrity of the parties and their messaging.
Yeah, I think what I kind of decided for myself was, if I see something on social media that's going to make me change my mind about how I'm going to do something, I should check a reliable source first, because it might be totally fake.
Right. And I also have to comment that I think the Elections Canada done a marvelous job. These votes are hand counted. And it's been incredibly interesting to me to see how many votes actually got tallied very shortly after the end of the election, the polls close. Yep. So I think ultimately it's a very a good sign that democracy seems to be alive and well. And in Canada, we're going to just revert now to the local stations. If you're standing with us, you can stand by, and we'll be back in a minute and a second. And it's over to Jesse and Danny from Burnaby, BC.
Hey, thanks for having us back one last time. I did want to mention that Elections Canada is reporting, 57.05% of registered voters turning out so far. That's with 91.97% of the polls reporting so far. So that number will probably go up a little bit. I'm not, I can't do the math in my head, but it will. It will go up. Also wanted to just check in one last time on what's going on here in the greater Vancouver area. Not much has changed Don Davies in Vancouver Kingsway is holding on to that seat for now, which has the NDP at 7 seats leading or trailing, and with the Liberals at, or sorry, leading or elected, and with the Liberals at 165 seats, that would potentially give them enough seats to reach that 172 seat majority level. So the NDP, despite what otherwise has been a pretty crushing day, evening at the polls, might be able to retain the balance of power there. So that's a piece of interesting news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, in the past 30 minutes, I think I've heard the idea being floated of essentially every other party holding the balance of power. You know, at one point it was projected that the Conservatives had 150 seats either leading or elected, and people were saying, you know, maybe the Bloc Québécois with their 23 seats will be the ones to determine who forms government. But at the moment, with Liberals at 165 either elected or leading and NDP at 7, it looks like that could be what ends up happening at the end of the night. It is still too early to tell. There's still a lot of counting that needs to be done within the West Coast, specifically within key ridings such as New West Burnaby Maillardville and Vancouver Kingsway. In New West Burnaby Maillardville in particular, it's sort of a three-way race at the moment. The incumbent Peter Julian is trailing behind in third place, but only by a few percentage points. Currently, Conservative MP candidate Indy Ponchi is in the lead, and it is yet to see who that will go to. It's sort of a toss-up at the moment, which a lot of them are.
Yeah, and still 53 polls waiting to be counted in New Westminster, Burnaby, and Maillardville. So a lot can change between now and when the final votes are counted. Thanks for having us on tonight. And back to you, Peter and Bill.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks. Before you guys sign off, can I ask you what you feel this time around, perhaps over last time, about voter engagement in the Lower Mainland? People got out to vote, obviously, but what do you sense? What's your takeaways from this election as opposed to others?
I would say this election, there have been a lot of different issues that I've heard a lot of different MPs and MP candidates talk about, mainly housing within the Lower Mainland. You know, affordability within the Greater Vancouver area is something that is a prevailing topic of discussion, and for good reason, obviously. But I do think that a lot of this election has been influenced by, you know, current relations with the United States and things like that. And it does feel like certain advocacy groups for issues such as climate change have sort of taken a back seat within this election and weren't as prevalent of a focus for the parties or even the voters in the Lower Mainland.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, in that vein, people did seem very engaged and very concerned and very, you know, dialed into this election, but it did feel mainly, like Danny was saying, along those sort of like international relations, the Trump tariff motivated ways, as opposed to there being any sort of specific issue that seemed to grab people's attention in terms of governance.
Yeah. Again, thanks for your support throughout the day. You've been at it for a little while now. And Jesse and Danny, thank you very much again. So you're back to Radio Sydney here now as we wind down today's election coverage. For, I would say, Peter, in terms of, say, a précis of what happened during the day, we saw Atlantic Canada, particularly Newfoundland and Labrador, perhaps a little more conservative than was predicted by the polls. We see folks like Clifford Small holding on to his seat in central Newfoundland, and we see one seat, I presume, with Terra Nova still up for grabs. Have you? Can you give us a sense of where that one is?
Yes. Let me hold it. Sorry.
Okay, it's okay. While you're doing that, Peter also mentioned that Nova Scotia seems to and And the rest of Atlantic Canada seem to have come in where expected by the polls. I don't know that there was much to say about shifts in Quebec, except for perhaps the NDP not doing as well there as would expected. And the comment earlier about maybe the Bloc Québécois holding the balance of power, that's going to be an interesting outcome. Peter, can you remind me about Anthony Germain and the seat in Terra Nova?
Okay, so yes, Terra Nova is the one that's still up for grabs, and where it is right now, you've got 269 of 270 polls reporting. Okay, wow, and geez, there is some 46 votes difference between the Liberal and the Conservative. That's going to a recount.
Yeah, well, pretty interesting stuff. And then, of course, we haven't heard much. Perhaps it's just the demographic. We haven't heard much from Manitoba and Saskatchewan in terms of where they ended up vis-a-vis the polls that came in. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, Manitoba, basically, they seem to have split. Half Conservative, half Liberal with one NDP vote. And it's Conservative in the south and Liberal in the north for Manitoba, which is kind of interesting.
Well, I guess that leaves Alberta and British Columbia. Any comments on Alberta?
Well, Alberta is pretty much what you expected. It's a blue sweep. You've got two Liberal and one NDP, and those are what you would expect, urban centers. So looking at this, NDP took Edmonton Strathcona, Liberals took Edmonton Central, and the other one...
Is it Calgary Centre that was also up for grabs?
I think so. I just have to point to the thing. Yeah, so that one, actually Calgary Confederation, and they went Liberal.
Interesting. Well, it also begs the question of what might have happened if Carney had gone to Edmonton for his riding in place of you know, downtown central Ottawa. So, I guess the proof is in the pudding. Peter, before we hit the bottom of the hour and then begin the wind-up for our shows, I want to take a few seconds to thank the folks from the West Coast production, yourself, myself, obviously, and some of the volunteers that helped us through the last month or so with the work that we have tried to do to put a show together. I want to take this opportunity to thank Bailey Adams as the producer. I've done a fantastic job with us tonight, Bailey. I want to thank you so much for your hard work. I think you have a bright career in radio. So if you don't hear it from anybody else, you can certainly hear it from us. We're just about at the bottom of the hour now. We'll come back. We have some wrap up comments. And so in about 20 seconds, we will leave you to ponder while we bring you a little music interlude. We'll come back at the bottom of the hour, as I said, and deliver some final wrap-up remarks from the alt election coverage from 2025. We'll see you very soon.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. This has been the National Campus Community Radio Association's alternative election coverage for 2025. Thanks to the NCRA and everyone there.